show. This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Tuesday. It is Tuesday. It's the Tuesday Catch Up Podcast. This is the best of the Cliffo and Gabby show. And hang about because very soon we give away an Alpha Bucks clue.
You want that.
Sneaky Alpha Bucks
because
clue.
Because we give you one answer to Alpha Bucks, which gives you the letter, which will help you with all of Alpha Bucks. So, worth
it. It does. It's a worth really it. Big hint. Mm-hmm. So, hang about. Here at the Cliffo and Gabby Catch Up Podcast.
Stick around.
Stick around.
Cliffo and Gabby's dating tips from yonder.
This is where I go back in time and find the dating advice that was dished out and bring it to the future to see if it still stands the test of time. So we're still in the 60s at the moment, Cliffo. That's
swinging
the era
60s.
We're hanging around in for the moment. And this advice is, again, for the gentlemen. Because there was a lot of 50s advice for the women before this, so
yeah,
I'm just evening it up.
Yeah, we ran through the 50s for a long time.
Yeah.
And the swinging 60s, it was a free-loving kind of era.
Yes.
There was a lot of hippie.
That's more 70s,
hippie
I think.
Stuff.
Maybe this is early 60s because it's still very conservative. Because some parents were still a little bit, you know, tight.
Well, it depends who wrote it.
That's true.
It was the kids of the 60s or if it was their parents.
It's definitely the parents.
Righto.
Yeah. So here we go. Gentlemen, if you can't find a date because your parents won't let you, there was a columnist by the name of Helen Botel with some advice.
Hit me, Helen.
Nothing will solve your problem faster than the draft. The army may not be the easiest way to cut apron strings, but it's the most effective. Thank you. Thank you, Helen. But if you do manage to get yourself a date, be careful when calling your lady friend. Never call her number and begin your approach with, "Hello, baby, guess who this is?" The sweet husky voice you thought you recognised may belong to her mother.
Oh, that's good advice.
Yeah, yeah. Be careful.
In the days before caller ID.
And before mobile phones.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Buchanan.
My bad. Being a gentleman is always important. Correct behaviour doesn't label you a sissy. You can be a star quarterback and still mind your manners. I feel like that still is relevant to this day. However,
so treat him mean, keep him keen. Not always.
Not always, no. And this is coming from the book Hi There, High School. Don't let on that you have emotions, fellas. This is a legitimate quote. Don't wear your feelings on the outside. If they stick out like a porcupine's needles, they're going to bump into plenty of trouble. Keep it bottled inside,
so fake
gentlemen.
It, fake it till you nail it, boys. We've all heard the saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Mm-hmm.
An apple nearly caused a doctor's visit on the weekend for my nearly two-year-old son, Charlie. He turns two in April.
So you proved the saying
wrong.
Quite the opposite.
Yeah. Mm. Take that, Burjo's catchphrase. So we're at Woolies, and you know, Woolies give away free fruit for kids.
Yeah.
Coles, step it up.
Yeah.
It is the best.
That's great.
Shut your kids up the minute you walk through the doors because it's right there at the fruit and veg section. I've got fruit-obsessed kids, luckily.
Good.
So it's great.
And it means they're distracted from all the chocolates and lollies.
All that sort of stuff. Mm. Just distracts them for the whole shopping visit. It's fantastic. My son doesn't get that you don't eat the apple core, though, because he's only, you know, not even 2 years old yet. So he starts eating the apple, and he thinks it's like all other foods. Like if he's eating
a
muesli bar or chips, whatever, you just eat from the top to the bottom, and he eats all the way through, which unfortunately leads to choking quite often.
Ooh.
That happened on the weekend. We try and rotate the apple around. We were trying that. But he goes back to the core.
Right.
Every time. And we're there. We're towards the end of the shop. So you know how it goes generally at most Woolies. You'll have fruit and veg. Then you'll have groceries, you know, health, beauty, all that sort of stuff. And you end on the freezers.
Yes.
We were in the freezer section. So we're at the very end of the shop when Charlie starts choking.
Oh, my God. That's so scary.
And frightening, like, choking. So I get behind him and I'm like, what do I do? Do I put my arms around him and do, like, a mini hind lick? He's quite... Well, he's stocky, Charlie, but he's still little, like he's not tall or anything. So I thought maybe he hasn't got the body or the rib strength for the full hind leg. So I just start whacking his back.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah, good.
The apple seed comes flying out of his mouth.
Like a movie.
He's in the trolley. This was playing in my head as the seed floats through the air. It's like that. It's like a game of shot put or something. It's flying. It's flying. It's flying. It finally comes to a rest in the freezer section at some Karen's feet.
Oh.
Who gives us the ugliest scowl ever. I got to be honest, though. I wasn't mad at all. If he can throw a football with that sort of speed, length, and precision,
it's
one day,
be a star.
I don't have a little thirst on my hands.
I have a thing going at the moment, Cliffo, that you are not on board with, and that is freaking out that my parcels are going to be stolen. And I don't know where this has come from, but it's definitely something that is in the back of my mind every single time I know a delivery is coming to my house. And I've signed up to Australia Post, so I'll get a notification, it's coming today, and then I'll get another notification, it's been dropped at your front door. And as soon as I get that notification that it's there waiting for me, I start to get really anxious, and I freak out that it's going to be stolen before I have a chance to get home and take it inside, to the point where yesterday I had like a HelloFresh box delivered.
This happens and all the time to you. It drives me mad.
But yesterday it was delivered just as I was finishing up here at work, but I was meant to go to the gym straight after. So I raced home, just popped the box in the front door, locked it back up, and then went to the gym.
Just two things. Number one, a package arriving at your house is not an excuse to leave work early. So we need to just stop that.
It's like, important.
No, no, it's not a thing.
It is.
And number two, a simple question for you. How many packages have you had stolen in the past from your like front door once they've been delivered?
None.
Give me a number.
None.
Exactly.
But that's because I race home and save them before there's a chance they're stolen.
Look, I'm prepared to give you an inch here. Don't take the mile, though.
Props
I'll give you an inch and say, I think that little bit of paranoia exists in all of us. Like when you get home and there's a package at the front door, I mean, it's the first thing you do. You pick it up and you think, oh, how long has that been sitting there for?
Yeah.
Particularly if there's something expensive inside it. Like,
totally.
I think the paranoia exists in all of us.
And the paranoia gets stronger the more expensive the item.
Of course.
Yeah.
But it never happens.
You don't
Gabby.
Reckon?
It never happens.
I think this
you
is definitely a thing.
You have never had one stolen.
I haven't because I am careful. 131060, has this happened to anyone else? Have you ever had a parcel stolen? Because some people might not have these notifications, these anxiety-inducing notifications on to tell them when something gets delivered. And it might be out there for hours, if not days. And it could get stolen. 131060, have you ever had a parcel stolen that was left at your front door? Postman I reckon Pat, it's happened. Postman Pat, Postman I don't think I'm anxious for no reason.
What I love is you're already paranoid about this. Yeah, we're asking for calls.
They're
going to increase your paranoia
That's
even more.
True.
Didn't think this one through, did you, Gabby? Leanne, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
This has totally happened to you, hasn't it, Leanne? Your parcel's been stolen.
It has. We were getting HelloFresh and the parcel got taken.
All your food gone.
Yes.
This is why I raced home yesterday for my HelloFresh.
This is the reason that has caused all of Gabby's paranoia, Leanne, and you're not helping.
Sorry, but I get everything delivered to my workplace now.
Right, that's the solution. Okay. Oh, that's a good idea.
Smart.
Because there's always someone there to accept it then.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It could keep Gabby at the office, you know.
A little longer.
A little past lunchtime.
Although,
which is very rare.
I can imagine Cliffo suddenly having a HelloFresh box at home if it gets delivered
what's
to work
that?
For me.
What's on the menu? Matthew on 131060. Morning, mate.
Morning, how are you?
Good, Matthew. Have you had a parcel stolen?
Yes, my brother had a package sent to his brother-in-law's place, and there was a random standing out front of his unit, and the postie just gave it to him, didn't take a signature, and never got it back.
No.
See, but that's the thing.
So it wasn't even delivered.
The postie's not looking at a photo of you. Like, he can say, you Joe Bloggs, I'm Joe Bloggs, you
there
write
you
anything
go.
On the slip.
Yeah.
And these days, man, you haven't even got a sign because of COVID.
Exactly.
They're just dropping stuff off.
Yeah.
So what was in the package, Matthew?
From memory, it was like a fancy knife sharpening set for the kitchen, but Like, nothing super important, but it shouldn't go missing.
No, that's a thing. Yeah. It doesn't matter what it is. It's still annoying if it goes missing.
Really boring delivery, but...
but still annoying.
Still don't want it stolen. John, morning, mate.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. John, what happened? What parcel was stolen for you?
Okay, so get this. So I live in an apartment complex. So I ordered a package. So I get a notification on my phone from Australia Post.
Yep.
So like you do, I go down the elevator to go grab it. But by the time I go down, package is gone. But I hear some footsteps. I'm thinking maybe someone, you know, mistakenly grabbed mine, because that happens. So, you know, so the guy's going up the stairs.
Yeah.
So I think, okay, you know, I'll just call and wave and say, oh, listen, I think he's on my package. Next thing I know, steps go quicker. Run up the stairs.
He's legging it.
Pretty much.
Oh.
But he lives in your apartment complex. Like, he can't get away.
Yeah, I know, right? So I goes up the stairs. I chase him two floors up. Eventually catch up with him and say, excuse me, I think you got my package. And he's like, oh, really? I thought my boyfriend ordered one as well.
Oh.
So I go, and I was like, well, can I just look at the label? And sure enough, John.
Yeah, all right. So what was the package, John?
Yeah,
again, it's beside the point, but what was it? What was in it?
Oh, it was just the jersey that I ordered.
Oh.
Like footy jersey?
Yeah, just a footy jersey.
Better than a knife sharpening block.
Expensive.
Better than a knife sharpening block.
That's true.
At least with a knife sharpening block, you take it out and hit him with it.
Not recommended.
Alpha Bucks back in the morning. $1,000 cash on the line, Gabrielle.
You know, this is where you get your answer. And it's Amy Shark, everybody.
Amy Shark.
Queenslander, Amy Shark is your answer.
Everybody rise for Amy Shark, your answer of Alpha Bucks in the morning. Hit, shut
Amy
up, I'm trying.
Amy Shark, do-do-do-do-do. Amy Shark, do-do-do-do-do.
That's a better one.
Cliffo and Gabby, Food Dudes.
This is where we do find weird and wonderful food combinations and ingredients and recipes online, and we try them so you don't have to. And I found this new recipe, and I apologise, I'm a bit put off because I just opened the container and the smell is overwhelming. It's really wafting. Okay. But it is Vegemite chocolate chip cookies. So...
huh?
This popped up as the most Australian recipe ever. And I didn't know this, Cliffo, but it turns out on the Vegemite page, like on their website, they actually have a recipe on there for Vegemite brownies. So that's a common one. But cookies is a new one. And I've got a few here for you to try so that you can give your honest opinion on them.
My partner never loved myself. Them. That it's just like salted caramel. Like a little salt on top of sweetness can enhance the flavour sometimes.
It can.
And I'm bullshitting right now. I don't know if is going to.
I think that was the premise. And I was reading. I'm going to do full disclosure here. The recipe was really in depth.
Okay.
Like you had to brown the butter, and you had to have brown sugar and white sugar, and you had to refrigerate it for 3 hours before you cooked it, and all these crazy shenanigans. I just got a packet mix and added Vegemite.
Vegemite choc chip cookie. All right. Jeez, they're generous cookies, aren't they?
Yeah, they're big cookies.
You don't muck around.
No. And I did...
It smells nice.
They don't smell bad. I only did half the recipe in case they were terrible so I could have normal cookies for the other half. I have tried
it. Are these gluten-free?
They are not gluten-free because they're for you to try. They need to taste legitimate.
You didn't make them for you. That's
so cool. Give it a go. It's chocolate chip cookies.
I've actually broken the cookie up because
I want
to eat
Vegemite.
The moist centre of the cookie.
It's,
so I've broken it into
squishy
quarters, and I'm going to eat from the centre out.
Give it a go.
I'm taking them right now.
Vegemite cookies, the most Australian cookie you'll get, apart from Anzac Day cookies.
I've taken quite a big bite.
Thoughts?
Okay, straight away I get hints of chocolate.
Yeah.
I get the sweetness that's in the cookie. And I get the Vegemite-y salty aftertaste, like you do with salted caramel.
Nice.
Gabrielle Elgood.
Winner?
We got a bloody winner, mate.
It's a winner. There you go.
Wow.
Well, you want to give it a go. Get yourself a
surprisingly good.
It is, but the smell. Give it a whiff though. Give it. It doesn't smell amazing.
How much Vegemite?
So if you're going to do a packet mix, you do 2 tablespoons of Vegemite in there with it.
Yeah, right.
And mush it all around and make yourself some cookies.
Gabby.
Just call me Nigella.
Old Gabby, why add teaspoons when you can add tablespoons? Elgood. That's you.
We want to open the phone lines on 131060 this morning to anyone who's been embarrassed by your kids. Because I have a story about, obviously, a friend of mine, because I don't have children as of yet, and this is making me question if I want them. no, my girlfriend, Belle, she had a UTI. She probably doesn't want me to tell you this, but that's okay. It's part of the story and it needs to be said. So she had to go to emergency to get it sorted out. You have to have antibiotics because it's it's an infection. And it can travel up to your kidneys and your bladder, and it's a whole thing. So she was in a fair bit of pain, and she was on the phone organising for someone to come look after the kids because her husband was away, so she could go get these antibiotics. And obviously her little daughter has heard her on the phone talking about what was going on and has taken just little bits
wrong.
Of the conversation.
Should have gone to the spare room because kids are like little dictaphones. Remember in the Flintstones live action movie, how the bird used to just say everything you said?
Yes.
That's what kids do.
Yeah, well, her daughter didn't repeat exactly what she said, but she definitely took the information and made it her own. Because when my friend Belle went to pick up her daughter from daycare the next day, across the playground, in front of all the parents and all the children, yelled it, "Mom, did you fix your vagina?
Mom, did you fix your vagina?" If you're feeling a bit deja vu right now, we did tell the story yesterday. You mentioned it yesterday, but
we want to open
the phones. I think we have to bring it back, and we've got to take calls on this because that's up there with the best of them.
It is, but I reckon there would be stories at that level or above, for sure, of kids 100%. Embarrassing you because they listen to all the conversations. They listen to everything that's happening around them, and they don't have a filter. They're just going to repeat it in situations where you don't want them to repeat it. So 131060, has your kid embarrassed you?
I think most parents right now aren't going, "Oh, have I got a story?"
They're which going, one?
Which story which am I going to ring I up tell? And tell? but 131060, "Mom, how's your vagina?" I mean, that's a good one. But can we beat it? 131060. Madonna's here. Morning, Madonna.
Hey, how you going?
Good. How'd your kid embarrass you, Madonna?
So this is going to embarrass my 21-year-old now, but when he was 4, we were in Woolworths in an aisle, and I noticed that he was scratching his bottom.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, could be a case of worms. I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. And anyway, as he continued to scratch and walk, he yelled out at the top of his voice, because I was about 4 sort of paces away, "Mum, I've got an itchy bum. I've got worms." And I honestly was so grateful that nobody was in the same aisle. However, as I was pushing down the end of the aisle, a lady came up and tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Aisle 7.
You want to get yourself some Combantrum.
Correct.
Is that the one that's like chocolate for kids?
That's right. Wow.
Oh, that's awkward.
A cracker. You thought you were in the free and clear as well.
Nope.
Matilda, I'm 1310. See, this is close to home for me because my daughter's Matilda. Yeah. So she's the one embarrassing me. But we have a Matilda here. Are you a mother?
Yes, I am.
Okay, right.
And which kid embarrassed you?
My eldest son. So he's only 4, but it was still bad.
What happened?
So it was that time of the month. We were in the parents' toilets in the shopping centre.
Yeah.
And obviously I had to take both kids in with me.
Yeah.
Sorry, my kids are crying.
No, it's just like that time they embarrassed you on the radio.
On my radio. Anyway, long story short, that time of the month, had to take the kids in. As we're kind of finishing up, my son yells at the top of his lungs, "Oh my God, somebody help, my mum's dying, she's bleeding."
Oh!
To make it worse, every parent in the waiting room was a dad.
Oh, no!
That's the worst.
Mum's dying. Oh, well, that's what it would look like.
Yeah.
For a poor child. And, you see blood, that's what you think.
I've been a dad in that room too. It's awkward for everyone. It's not a great space to be in. 13, 10, 60. Terry, what happened, mate? How'd you get embarrassed you?
It was actually me embarrassing my parents.
Oh, good one. What happened?
My parents, we used to always go to church every Sunday, and I was very young and I didn't like sitting there being quiet and everything. And one day my dad was sitting there telling me to be quiet and everything and trying to get me to sit still. And I turned around at the top of my lungs and went, "Dad, you have a huge zit on your face."
Right. You're right in the middle of church.
Did you get did you get struck by lightning?
Trending right now. Hit.com.au.
This is really interesting, but Dr. Tricia Stratford, you would know her as an expert from Married at First Sight, but she's an ex-expert now. She quit last year. And she's,
say that 10 times
she's an
fast.
Ex-expert. But she's actually spoken out to Women's Day about why she decided to leave the show. So she has said that the show changed from the observational documentary she felt she had agreed to be part of. It got supersized into what we know as MAFS now. The participants got in, the participants we got in season 6 and 7 were so outrageous and outside the norm that it wasn't what I signed up for. And then she went on to say, "I couldn't compromise my professional and personal standards longer."
That's a
and
dig.
And that's why yes.
Good dig of the show.
She also went on to talk about how it is actually quite a difficult journey for the participants to take. They're put through quite a lot psychologically. And yeah, she wasn't on board with it anymore. So.
I mean, she's confirmed what we all knew.
Yeah. It's not the original premise.
No.
It's changed a lot since it first began, let's be honest.
Yeah. I worry about reality TV contestants on shows
like this. And their mental health?
Yeah, I do.
I do too.
The amounts of
trolling,
keyboard warriors.
No, and they're not trained for that. They go in and they come out to just a whirlwind, and yeah, it would be quite a shock. It would really
once that 5 minutes is gone too, back to your normal life.
You still got to deal with everything you've been through.
That's right. It's
Also trending, the Golden Globes were a little bit controversial this year. They happened yesterday. Many celebs actually boycotted the affair after it was revealed. The Hollywood Foreign Press Associations, that's the organisation of 87 members who nominate and select Golden Globes winners. They have no black members in the organisation, not one.
Can you believe that in 2021?
It's just crazy. It's so unbelievable. But this was called out many times by the celebs and even the hosts throughout the evening calling for change. So the ones that did actually attend. It was just, I'm glad it was called out, though, that, you know, this does need to change in future. The big winners of the night, though, were Schitt's Creek and The Crown, while Sacha Baron Cohen accepted Best Motion Picture Musical or Comedy Award for his new Borat movie. He accepted the award from his Australian couch, and he decided to pay tribute to the breakout star of the film, Republican politician Rudy Giuliani, who didn't know he was going to be part of the movie, but was.
Couldn't have been possible without my co-star, a fresh new talent who came from nowhere and turned out to be a comedy genius. I'm talking, of course, about Rudy Giuliani. Our movie was just the beginning for him. Rudy went on to star in a string of comedy films, hits like Four Seasons Landscaping, Hair Dye Another Day, and the courtroom drama, A Very Public Farm.
Hair Dye Another Day. There's the famous image of him sweating in his hair dye.
His hair dye's dripping down his
face. Dripping down his face. So it's like when you cry. Your mascara
down my face.
The panda bear thing. Big day yesterday. For Memory Monday, we met a dude named Randall Kleiser, who was the director of the film Grease. He made the film Grease.
It's a 43-year-old movie, so he's in his 70s now, but still has very clear memories of making that
movie. I can't believe it's 43 years
old. I know.
It's just, It's timeless.
It's great. It's on Netflix, FYI. Watched it on the weekend.
Get our catch up with Randall right now, because he just blows so many secrets of the movie wide open. Mm-hmm. That's at hit.com.au or the free Hit Network app for the Catch Up podcast. But one thing he said really grabbed my attention yesterday, and it was about the casting of the film. Listen to this.
It wasn't to be taken seriously. It was kind of like bigger than life. I mean, we had teenagers who were in their 30s in some cases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thing was meant to be taken, you know, with a grain of salt.
We had teenagers who were in their 30s. Mm-hmm. Now, I actually did my research and I've discovered that Randall, the director of Grease there, he's talking about Stockard Channing, the actress who played Rizzo.
Mm-hmm.
Rizzo was 17 years old.
In the movie.
In the movie Grease.
Yeah, she got a hickey from Kinnicky.
Hickey from Kinnicky, yeah.
Yeah.
Stockard Channing was 33 years old when she played Rizzo, a 17-year age gap.
Oh, there's still hope for me yet. I could still play a teenager in a rom-com.
Just. What, you got another year?
I got one. No, 6 months.
6 months to go. But I've actually gone through, and it turns out, like, throughout history, a lot of actors have played much older characters, or much younger characters, I should say. So the actors are older.
Yeah.
The characters are much younger that they play. Rachel McAdams in Mean Girls.
This yes. girl is the nastiest I've ever met.
So that's her there as Regina George.
High school again.
So high school age, Regina George's character age was 16.
Uh-huh.
Rachel McAdams' real age, 25. Ooh. So 9 years older.
Yeah.
You're going to notice these get, you know, older and older, okay, the gap as we go on.
All right.
Jennifer Grey in Dirty Dancing.
She looked young.
So Baby was 17.
Yeah.
Jennifer Grey was 27.
Oh, really?
10-year age gap.
Wow.
Leonardo DiCaprio in Catch Me If You Can. The character was 17. He was 28.
Was
an 11-year
17?
Age gap. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Garfield in The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Character age 15.
Real
age 27.
15.
A 12-year age
gap. I don't even believe that.
But the winner, and this one is absolutely astounding. This one is, you know, number one by a country mile. The biggest age gap has to go to Shirley Henderson, who was Moaning Myrtle in Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah. She,
Moaning Myrtle.
She died as a teenager and was a ghost in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Who would ever talk about ugly, miserable, moping, Moaning Myrtle?
God, she's an annoying character.
She can be very helpful.
Myrtle died when she was 14.
14!
So the ghost of Moaning Myrtle was 14. Shirley Henderson, the actress who played Moaning Myrtle, was 37 years old. A 23-year age gap.
If you make him transparent, it takes some years off, obviously.
You know what? Being dead really just peels the years away, Gabby. The Hit Breakfast Show.